Mark chapter 6. If you have that, say amen. Verse 41. And when he had taken the loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed, broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples, set before them, and the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Verse 53. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, and they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. I want to back up in the middle of these two passages to verse 48. It will be where I take my text from this morning. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. I feel the Lord wants to speak to us this morning, and I'm not just saying that. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. And I've not been able to shake this message, and it gripped my heart heavily last night. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. I want to preach on coping with the in-between. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your mercy and grace. And I pray that you give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech, that I'd say nothing more, nothing less than what you'd have me to speak. Let your love be felt in a mighty way here this morning. That a door of utterance would be opened unto me, that I could declare the oracles of God. And Father, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And a lot of good people says, amen. Amen. You see, one thing, when you don't have a lot of people, that means you got to make noise for like three people, you know? And so everybody has like triple their amens. And so we may be few in number, but we can still take out a lot of devils. Amen. Now, this is a beautiful story, passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 6. And what we're seeing is Jesus and his disciples went across the Sea of Tiberias. And they were trying to get away, really, trying to take a break, trying to rest. The Bible said that the people, the multitudes, actually ran around. This got a few names, Lake Gennesaret, Sea of Tiberias, whatever you want to call it. And they actually met him on the other side. Well, they got on the other side, and the Bible says that Jesus looked about all these people, and they were hungry, and they were thirsty. And the disciples said, we need to send them home, because they're going to faint. If we send them home without no food, they're going to be famished. So on and so forth. And Jesus said, well, what have we? Feed them. Give them something. They said, all we have is five fish and two loaves. 200 penny worth. It's not enough. And Jesus said, bring it to me. We know the story well. And he set them down in companies of 50 and companies of 100. And the Bible said that Jesus began to bless, break, and multiply the fish and the loaves. It's pretty awesome, wouldn't you agree? I'd like to have been there. I'd like to have seen it happen. But now the Bible tells us in verses 54 through 56 what was going to happen on the other side of this lake. It said that when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that he might touch if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. I don't know if you're seeing what I'm trying to show you here. On this side of this lake, there's one miracle. Now, if you go, you'd be technical about it. He fed 5,000, but pretty much one miracle on this side of the Sea of Tiberias. And then we find that if they can get to the other side of the Sea of Tiberias, they're laying them out in the streets. Their shadow's going to pass over them. They're going to touch the hem of his garment. Every city that he went into, every town that they went into, miracle after miracle after miracle. One miracle on this side and a multitude of miracles on that side. But I came to you this morning to talk to you about coping with the in-between. You see, as a preacher of the gospel for several years, I've been preaching this text. I preached it many times. I've talked about the fish. I've talked about the loaves. I've preached about how we need to get to the other side. We do, don't we? We need to get across to the other side this morning. But some time ago, I was preaching around about this passage, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, it doesn't really matter what's on this side. And it doesn't really matter what's on that side if we get on this ship and get out on the sea and don't make it across. And so we need to understand that what we do when we're in the storm is very, very important. You see, it didn't matter what was on either side. They went down in the storm. When that storm came upon them, all that matters was a storm. When the storm came upon them, all that mattered was they to get the water out of this ship and keep on sailing. Now, there was one miracle on this side and many miracles on that side, but a storm during the crossing. Now, I don't think they were anticipating a storm. I mean, are we ever anticipating a storm? I mean, it's good to be in Florida when hurricanes are bad, but at least you have a few days' notice. In Kentucky, they fall from the sky and they don't warn you. And they wipe out your whole town in about 5 minutes. They're called tornadoes up home. No warning. I don't believe they anticipated a storm. But the storm came anyway. Mark said they were toiling and rowing. Matthew said they were tossed about with the waves. And John said, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Now I find it strange that veteran fishermen like these men of God of this caliber, would anticipate crossing the sea without any incident, without a storm. I find it strange that men of this caliber would expect to go across from one miracle to many miracles without having something happen to them. But that's the way we are a lot of times. We expect God to take us from one to many, and there be no problems, there be no troubles, there be no storm in between. You know something, saints of God? It rains on the just, it rains on the unjust. And if you're going to serve the Lord, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. But hear this preacher this morning, but God said, I will deliver them out of them all. Now hear me this morning. We want something for nothing, but it never happens that way. We're going to get it, but it's going to be at the price. We're going to have storms. We're going to have to go through some things. And I came to preach to somebody about coping with the in-between. What do you do when you're caught in between two places? Where you were and where you're going. As a preacher, it's hard sometimes because you're telling the saints of God, God's going to move. But you look around and everything's falling apart. You say they're laying them in the streets over there. But the saints say, I don't see it now. The rain's falling, the wind's blowing. Oh, I haven't seen the sun in many days. Are you hearing me this morning? We've got to hang on. We've got to hold faith. You cannot judge what tomorrow holds or what the storm is doing right now. We have got to learn to cope with the in-between this morning. Help me, Holy Ghost, to finish this out. What do you do when you felt the power of God so greatly in the past? and know that God has got something mighty for you in the future? What do you do when you're caught somewhere in between? In your heart, the Lord is speaking great things about Mahaka Church of God, but yet you look around and say, I don't see what I'm looking at in my visions. What do you do when you're caught in between two places? What do you do when you're caught in between one miracle and many miracles, but you don't know if you're going to make it through what you're going through right now? I tell you what you do. You hang on until Jesus comes your way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've really dealt with this a lot lately on a personal level. Not in the last 6 months or so, but I went through a space of time about 8 months. My heart started hurting me, Brother Myers. I couldn't sleep at night. Just pain. And when your daddy dies when you're 2, he's only 21 of a heart attack. When you start having heart troubles, you start getting worried. And the devil had me believing, Mama, that I wasn't going to live. He had me believing I was going to lay down one night and my wife was going to wake up a widow and my children were going to be fatherless. And I mean, I was stuck in between two places. I was saying, God, you have laid some things on my heart. You have spoken into my spirit. And you have said, I'm going some places. I'm going to see some things. But now I'm going to die. But God, He is faithful. Are you hearing me this morning, saints of God? I went down to the emergency room. I had a pain shoot down my left arm. They put an EKG on me. They said, son, your heart's perfect. Your blood works perfect. You know what it was? It was the devil trying to hinder me from getting across to the other side. Have you ever been there? It's a stupid question. I know you're there right now. I know the church is there right now. Pastor Myers hasn't told me a whole lot, and I would like to preach to you right here today. Seeing behind you and then seeing in front of you, but today's vision is blinded by the storm. Now I know a lot of people that just sit down when the storm comes. They've given their Sunday school class. I just got one student coming. I've only got one young lady. What good is that going to do? Well, for her, she's only got one teacher, and she's still going to be there Sunday morning, and she's going to still come, and it may not be 10, but you're going to make an impact in her life. And so sometimes when a storm comes, we want to sit down and quit, but we cannot just sit down. These men were in desperate trouble, but they didn't just throw in the oars and everything in the water. They got their buckets out and they began to bail water from the boat. Now listen to me, I will confess, there is futility in human effort, but don't give up. Keep on keeping on, because the story is not over with some men on a boat bailing water out. Amen. Amen. It may sound like a paradox. Perhaps it is, but you got to do everything in your power to get God's attention. But when the sobering fact dawns on you that you can't do anything with Christ, that becomes a hard thing to swallow. John said, it's dark now, and Jesus has not come. Where is Christ at? I don't see Him. I don't feel Him. I don't see His hand working in this. It looks like the enemy is destroying and busting and tearing. And so these men were being tossed about on the sea, and Jesus was nowhere to be found. Now the reason I bring this point out is because it was an issue with these men. Evidently they had mentioned it because John said it was now dark and Jesus was not yet come. They had just passed through a storm in chapter 4 of Mark. But listen, Jesus was on the boat with them. He was right there with them. It's easy when everything's going great. It's easy when Jesus is on the boat with you. But what do you do when you're walking by faith and not by sight this morning? What do you do when it feels God is a million miles away from you? I want to share a couple of verses with you. Mark 6:47-48. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And then comes four of my favorite words in the entire King James Bible. And he saw them. I love four words. He saw them. And he saw them. He was standing on a mountain. He was looking through a storm, carefully watching his children through the lightning and through the thunder and through the rain. He saw them right where they were. You got to hear me this morning, saints. I don't care what you're going through, but Jesus sees you right where you are. I don't care how fierce the storm is. I said he sees you. I don't know where the church is, but he sees you. I don't know what the enemy's doing to you, but Jesus is on a mountaintop and he sees you this morning. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. And the Bible tells us the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. And so number one, I want you to know that this was a very fierce storm. I want you to notice that it came to them right where they were. He didn't wait for them to get back across. He didn't wait for them to swing the ship around. He didn't even wait for them to get across to the other side. But he said, I'm coming to them right where they are. Amen, amen, amen. Why was there such an urgency? Well, even Jesus knew this one was going to take them down. Some storms you can't ride out. Some storms you can't make it through. This is a job for Jesus. And maybe that's the way it is here. But that's why God is sending revival. He wants to let you know I've got you in my eyes. Amen. We act like a storm. Every one of them can be conquered, but that's not true. Sometimes storms come upon us that we can't deal with unless Jesus comes to us. It's not enough to know that he sees us. We've got to know this morning that God is going to come to us. This storm was going to be their death, but Jesus knew it before they ever left the shore. As a matter of fact, I believe he may have just been the one that sent the storm in the first place. He may have been the one that blew the storm out there and said, before this day's over, you're going to see me do some things you've never seen me do before. Amen. Now I want you to hear this phrase. Would have passed them by. You better get in here with me. I'm almost done. It doesn't mean that he was just walking and happened to look over and say, oh, there they are. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that he just happened to see the boat, just happened to see his people, and then stopped. It means two things, at least two things. It tells us, number one, the speed in which Christ can come to his people in the middle of a storm. And number two, it tells us that he waited until the very last moment. He waited until no one could get the glory. He waited until no one could say, I did it. He waited until it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now you're here this morning and you're wondering, how quick can God come to me? Can you blink your eye? Can you snap your finger? He can come quicker than that. And you say, where's he at? He's waiting for the right time, the perfect time. But you better believe this, he's on his way to help you today. Mark 6:52. I need to say this before we go this morning. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. The storm has a way. The storm's got a way of hardening your heart. Now this doesn't mean, hallelujah. This doesn't mean their hearts were hardened like a sinner's heart. It means they had bitterness in their heart. It means they built walls around their hearts. They did not consider the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. It means they had already forgotten what God had already brought them through. And I'm telling you, don't you forget
that lion and that bear that God gave you, because it's going to be upon that you hinge your testimony when you stand before this next giant. And so the Bible said they forgot about the miracles because their hearts were hardened. I said the storm has got a way of hardening your heart. It's got a way of making you want to throw in the towel. I remember when I first came to God's miracle mission, 5 people and 3 of them hated my guts. Oh, Mama Warren met me on a Friday, 80-year-old mama, and she was crying. And she said, I don't know if it's worth it anymore. But 3.5 years later, 45 members and the Holy Ghost moving almost every service. Mama Warren stands up and says, it's good to see the mission back to where it used to be. My God, the storm will cause your heart to become hardened. And you'll get to where you say, it's not worth worshiping. It's not worth lifting my hands. It's not worth singing a song. And maybe I don't need to go to revival. It's worth that and everything else. You stay in the boat, saints of God. You hang in the boat. Let God build a holiness church here. Old-fashioned church of God's time. Amen, amen. And let the power of God save our babies. Bring in the lost and see revival again. I didn't come to preach to the church down the road. I don't care if we have 1 visitor. For the pastor's sake, I hope the house fills up. But if it's just us 15 or 20 the rest of the week, I couldn't care less, Brother Myers. Because if this church is going to get up, it's going to get up through you. It's going to get up through this man of God right here. And I'd like to encourage you, you cannot go down on some top of the sea. You've got to make it across to the other side. You've got to keep on keeping on. You've got to keep fighting. Matthew 14:26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. You want to talk about the eye of the storm? It is I. Be not afraid. Listen to this. We're going to go home. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Number one, the first thing I want you to notice is that Jesus manifested himself in a way he had never manifested himself before. Desperate times call for desperate measures. They had never seen Jesus walk on the water. I don't know that he walked on the water after that. But in this situation right here, it was so desperate that Jesus came walking to them on the sea. And so he manifested himself in a manner that they had never seen. The greatest miracles ever performed, I believe, were done during times of the storm. When I read through the Word of God, you're going to find God doing many awesome things. When the rain was falling the hardest, and the lightning was flashing the worst, and the thunder was roaring the loudest. And not only do I want you to see it, Peter, I saw Jesus do something that Jesus had never done. But Jesus, he let Peter do something that he had never done. Amen, amen. It didn't happen on the mountain. It didn't happen over there. It didn't happen over there. It happened on the sea. It happened in the storm. I got a feeling, oh Pastor Myers, it might be in this storm that God lets you do what you've never done before. Stand across the house.